We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
You got a little taste of what goes on right before the show, which is we talk about the softballs we're going to log. It's like, so what's your name? That's very interesting. Did your parents give that to you? Things like that.
You're listening to Fantastic Patter, Live with Snacky Tunes.
Yeah,
Digenaire Forget, color commentary.
Yeah, this is welcome to the hour of Patter.
Best in the game.
I'm Digenaire Forget.
I'm Terry Diabolic.
You're listening to Snacky Tunes. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse. Great show today. I'm going to say happy Valentine's Day to a room full of new people, which is how it should be on Valentine's Day. No pressure.
I love how Eater dubs today, like, shit show.
Oh, they just...
it's just what
national,
it is.
Do you eat what Eater is?
I have no idea.
Eater is like a food website.
You can't say shit show on the internet radio, can you?
Yeah. You can say it. All those seven deadly words or whatever Carlin said, you can say them all.
Beautiful.
It's just, it just makes it
deadly words.
Deadly. I think people will. Anyway. Yeah. So, happy Valentine's Day. And also,
Spring Day. I
left my coat at home too.
We have a great show today. We got bats.
Not for the guy from L.A.
Yeah.
He's like,
oh,
what is this?
It's so not- many silly sweaters.
We got Bass coming up later in the second half. Going to be DJing, talking about the amazing sold-out run you've been going on for shows.
Yeah.
What show would you like to play before you die? Just think about that one for me, and
oh
we'll just... I gotcha.
So what's your writing process? Okay, but first up, we have Alan Salkin, who, among many things, was a casted industrial films in Hong Kong, wholesaled rubber duckies in Vegas, picked oranges, pet in Crete, and so on and so forth. Alan is writing a comprehensive book on food television. Alan, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
My pleasure, Darren.
So let's give a brief overview of the project you're working on and how you got started.
Well, the New York Times laid me off about a year ago. Old media ran out of money. And I thought about what I wanted to do, and I had written a bunch of stories. Most of my stuff was in the style section, and I had written stories about the culture of food and food media, not so much like how to cook something, but who were the guys who put together food television, who's the most powerful agent, who's Bobby and Rachel's agent, and who runs the big food festivals, and how does this all happen? And I just realized there was no book that really told the story of how, you know, in 20 years we went from a couple shows on PBS to the more household names being created from food TV in the last 20 years than anything else. You know, most people would rather hang out with Guy Fieri than Brad Pitt. Most guys, at least.
Most guys. I don't know. I think if Brad Pitt went on tour.
Yeah.
I guess if Brad Pitt went on tour.
It would be fun to hang out with both of them at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be good. I think
just
I would
watch them like put their celebrity ego like on like go toe to toe.
I've met Guy Fieri. He has no ego.
Really?
Yeah. He is nice. The only problem with getting close to him is you can cut yourself on the ends of his hair.
Bam.
I was gonna say
you know what, of all the people, he knows exactly what the deal is. He knows where he came from. He has no misunderstanding of what the deal.
I find that to be true of most of the food celebrities. Yeah. They're from a hospitality business, and right. They're nice people. They really are.
Like Aida Mollenkamp is one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She's a doll. So
although she no longer my emails to her are bouncing, so maybe I don't know, maybe sending 50 in a day to her was a mistake.
Maybe you're asking Aida too much.
Exactly.
Wow.
Anyway, so the book I'm doing basically tells the 20-year story of how Food Network was born.
So this is about just the Food Network.
No, well, Food Network is the main character in the story. The
protagonist, if
you
will.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, about halfway through its life, all these other channels start coming along with Bravo, with Top Chef, and, you know, more competition. But it's still going to be looked at from Food Network's perspective and seeing these competitors come up and how they react. And then how do we get where we are now with Cooking Channel launching and a whole new world opening up?
If that's the protagonist, who's the antagonist of the story?
I think the antagonist of the story is Food Network also.
Yeah.
Because ding, that's the question. It's, you know, what
it's
is
the black
it?
Swan.
Yeah, is it good? Is it bad? Everyone wants to know. And you know, there's one question that everybody who studies this wants to know that no one can figure out even how to answer, which is does food TV make people cook more and cook better?
I think you are not part of the equation. I'm not part of the equation?
No.
I think it does.
I think it does.
I love The Frugal Gourmet. That's who I grew up watching. And there's no question.
You know, you have to remember that before there was a sort of a dark era after World War II and before cooking shows really took off again, that cooking was not so much about preparation but about hosting and service and things like that. And whatever the easiest way to host, that was considered good cooking.
So do you think something like Halfway Homemade is...
Semi-homemade.
Halfway House.
That's the governor's wife we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fiance.
Do you think shows like that where it's, you know, a lot of Dump and Stirs that's moving in like a good direction just because they're cooking? Or do you think that's part of the issue? I don't even know the question.
I just think it's... You know, if the question is who's watching. If you're taking somebody who was making no homemade, well, semi-homemade's better. And it's, you know, the thing is, all these recipes are on the internet, and you see something you like, and some nights you want to make it semi-homemade, some nights you want to make it fully homemade. I don't think any of it's bad. I have a lot of respect for what's popular. Obviously, people want something, what Sandra Lee is presenting. Right. So it's not good or bad. It's just Food Network is a business, and they know how to deliver what people want, and then the question is, should they be doing more or not to shape what it is we want?
Well, you're looking at two different types of programming for the Food Network. You're looking at the daytime straight education, which most people have on, and this is from my own personal experience going on the road is that they don't even know what's on. They just leave the Food Network on all day.
Yeah.
And then you have entertainment, which is during the prime time, and that's a less focus. It's food as a theme as entertainment, but you definitely don't get, you know, shows like Throwdown or something like that, or Iron Chef. You can't cook from those shows.
Let me answer the second part of that first. But you do learn how to order off a menu. And if you notice, menus are getting more and more sophisticated, because on Iron Chef and on Top Chef, there's all kinds of weird ingredients. And people are educated, and waiters now have to know the answers to, like, well, is your cod from the deep sea trench off in New Orleans, you know, off at Louisiana, where's the what town in Italy is the pancetta from? I mean,
is that a trend across America though, or is that a?
I think it is. I think
that's not just a bi-coastal trend.
No, because people are watching these. I wrote a book about Festivus once, and people make the mistake of thinking that Seinfeld, Festivus was a holiday introduced on Seinfeld. People make the mistake of thinking that Seinfeld was only popular in New York and LA, where the Jews are. And in fact, you don't have a hit show on television unless you're popular, you know, in Peoria.
No, and that's where Food Network makes its decisions, from Peoria, from the gut of the people in the middle of America.
Right, and those people now know, in Peoria, they now know, you know, that there's different kinds of prosciutto, you know?
And I think that type of development is great. I think those types of improvements on people understanding food is fantastic, but I think there is becoming more and more of a separation between knowledge and actual application.
I think you're right, but, what I think about the reason that people keep the Food Network on all day is not because they want to learn how to cook, those people who just have it on compulsively. It's because we're living disconnected, kind of sad lives away from our loved ones in urban centers. And having these giant televisions, which we all have now, except for you, having these giant
televisions. I have a big TV.
I have a huge TV. Here.
Yeah.
A huge
TV. Well, you're in TV. You should have a big TV.
Of course.
But anyway,
selected viewing.
These large televisions that if you look at them, they almost look like you're actually looking into a kitchen that's actually in your house. And then you have this usually quite attractive male or female in there making something that looks delicious. I mean, if the TV could spew out a smell, it would be perfect.
They're working on it.
I know they are. Smell-o-vision. So
I can't wait to see when they start doing Food Network 3D. It's coming.
Is it really?
Are they actually filming in 3D yet?
Not yet, but you know.
Of course it's coming.
It's coming. Everything's been done in HD, and now they'll do everything in 3D. And let's take a pause. Let's talk about the Food Network. Let's talk about the Cooking Channel. And let's talk about the competition, because I think other channels are primarily focused on entertainment. Discovery Home gets into the actual education a little bit. But we're talking to Alan. He's writing a book on food. We're talking all things food and music. And
we have a song coming from Colin Stetson that my friend passed to me. I think it was – I have to give credit that I think they got it from Pitchfork. But it's this totally wild baritone sax record that really is crazy. And we're going to play a track off it. And then we'll be back with more Snacky Tunes.
Of all the wires, it was the wires that were the wires for empathy that we loved beyond all the others. Of all the wires, it was the wires that were the wires for empathy that we loved beyond all the others. The sound of that much life streaming in, ghosts made of smoke and paper trees.
Feel your heart.
his father and his father.
Reaching through to the other side.
And this conversation itself just the substitute.
Reaching through to the other side.
Words rattle.
Reaching through to the other side.
That was Colin Stenson from the record New History Warfare. I think there's more. I just can't see it. It's crazy.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
It's really awesome to listen to on headphones. So, and yeah. I believe there's a couple other records out, but I just like that you can hear like the clacking of the sax on it.
Is that the professional term of clacking?
Yeah, sax clacking.
Okay.
For Valentine's Day. Anyway,
we're here in the studio with Alan Selkin, writer, Orange Hawker. Caster of industrial films.
Rubber ducky.
Rubber duckies.
Conveyor.
Ex-writer for New York Times. We're talking all things.
I also made you guys some chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, look at him bringing that out. Look
I
at
wanted
him.
To do it on the air, oh, so I made these for you, you guys.
Yeah.
And so Lior can't have any because his pizza looks too good.
Best interview ever.
So we left Fourth for the Song. We were talking about the Food Network and Cooking Channel, and people are cooking more. And I think what you're seeing now is that people are getting away from education of food. You know, the Dump and Stir shows, that's not what they're really looking for anymore. They're looking for entertainment. And as the separation, even though people are knowing more about pancetta or whatever in the Midwest, there is becoming a more separation between food and education.
When Brooke Johnson became president of the Food Network in around 2004, they started doing some audience research, and they started realizing, you know, they weren't doing well in prime time. They had these Dump and Stir shows during the day, and they devised a new advertising campaign, which was Food Network way more than cooking.
Right.
And the first show that showed them the way was Iron Chef Japan.
Of course.
And everything is descendant, basically, of Iron Chef Japan. And, you know, this is the problem of cable TV, I say, is there was this promise of narrowcasting, that you could have special channels for special things. But the business of TV is that everybody wants to maximize their ratings all the time.
Right.
And so everyone rushes towards what's hot. And, you know, competitive television is what works. It's a formula that does not seem to be going away.
Let's talk about competing networks and how, over the last few years, Bravo, I know there's Top Chef, but a lot of those things came out of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, but Discovery Home, I mean, even Science Channel, the show that I worked on, Blaze Off, Travel, you know, with Andrew Zimmerman and Anthony Bourdain, they are encroaching on the Food Network, and you see actually a lot more progressive thinking on these other networks.
Well, you know, yeah, Bravo, Queer Eye is what everything descended from. Right. They realized what they had, and food was one of the categories. And I do think it's a cultural question of how hip, you know, I don't know how else to say it other than you're right. I mean, Bravo, there's a quality to Top Chef. Not saying it's better than what's on Food Network.
It's just different.
But it's something that you just almost couldn't imagine Food Network doing. But
they did. With the Top Chef and Next Food Network Store, I mean those to me are parallel shows to Top Chef. They found out a way that they can make a show that was like that, but played within their world.
You're right. Although, you know, Next Food Network Star, the original, was actually on before Top Chef was on, but it has evolved to be more like Top Chef. And it's hard sometimes to tell the difference. They have Judge's Table, and it looks very similar with the cameras. And I think still. There's a quality to the Top Chef, almost when they show them in the apartment and, you know, whipping each other with towels and sexual innuendos. There's just stuff that they wouldn't do on Food Network.
No. Did I miss the towel whipping scene from this season?
There was, I think, season four, season five, like these two chefs hooked up. It was the only time there was any sort of sexual activity in the entire show.
They're like, we have and
a it was,
real
like, it was like it was like a half-shared kiss on the couch.
But, you know, even Tony Bourdain, you know, he was on Food Network first.
He was.
Now two seasons, and, you know, it wasn't working. The audience wasn't that into it. You know, it's also, what do you expect when you tune into Bravo? What do you expect when you tune into Food Network? That period is not the period that I have done my deep reporting on yet. So I can't tell you my fully baked opinions on exactly who is what and what's going on.
They have a new show that our friends actually went to a taping of that was like, it's called like 24 Hour Restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's essentially just restaurant wars from Top Chef that they turned into an entire series.
That's exactly what friends of mine say. But yeah, a friend of mine, Gabriella Gershenson, is one of the judges on 24 Hour Restaurant Battle. And it's true. I mean, I don't want to say you're right.
I mean, it's the same way they deconstructed it because they were like, oh, wait, what do everyone get excited about, including the chefs, from that thing? And they're like, oh, Restaurant Wars.
And yet, 24 Hour Restaurant Battle is actually a really entertaining show to watch. So maybe we just weren't getting enough Restaurant Wars, and Bravo should have had, started their own Restaurant Wars.
Is it a Bravo show?
No. Restaurant Wars is a 24 Hour Restaurant Battle is a Food Network show.
But this is the thing that is, I guess, a bigger question. You look at these networks, like you look at Bravo that has a hit show like Top Chef, and then you look at something like Travel that has no reservations. And they don't expand beyond that. Like, they might have a show where food is popular, but they're never going to, Bravo is not about to get in the food game.
Well, why do you think Cooking Channel was moved up 3 or 4 months from its original launch date? They are seriously concerned that someone else is going to start a food channel.
Yeah, but I mean,
why wouldn't Discovery's that Discovery Health, Discovery? I know why wouldn't they?
Because maybe they might, but Discovery has been in the food game for quite a few years now. They did Inner Chef with Marcus Samuelson years ago. They did Go Ahead, Make My Dinner. They did the guy from.
You just made that up. There's no such show. It's a good name.
I PA'd on that show.
Okay.
And whenever the winner won, they said it was some odd English phrasing of like, you've gone ahead and made my dinner. I mean, it was anyway. That guy in Brooklyn who did Schnacks or whatever, who had that restaurant, he had a show in there. They had Backyard. I mean, they've had enough shows. Is that possible? Because I mean, that's the thing that we keep talking about. It's like, they could make new shows, but to create like the backbone of a 24-hour network, they would all still be probably pulling from the same amount of shows.
There are so many food shows out there all over the world that you could syndicate.
But every day at Food Network, they could syndicate what's already out there, but every day at Food Network, they get 50 guys coming in pitching new shows. There are food producers all over this town with ideas, Darren included, and you just put up a sign saying, I'm starting a food network, and you'd start getting pitched.
You know, I guess I never asked this question, but would it be more expensive to go back and syndicate the shows or to be like, here's,
No.
I mean, we shot Dinner with the Band on literally nothing.
It is so cheap to buy some of this programming.
Yeah, it's way cheaper. I mean,
way cheaper to
syndicate. Okay.
There's a show that's on Cooking Channel now called Food Jammers, which was originally shot for Food Network Canada. And it's just not very expensive to buy this stuff. Or David Rocco's, Dolce Vita, an Italian show. And that, it's 5 or 6 years old.
I mean, and they're showing stuff. I mean, they were showing Julia Child stuff.
I actually like that they're doing that.
I love, like, Two Fat Ladies. I mean, but I think that type of stuff, like the old sort of, not forgotten, but those type of shows would be great if it was paired with something. But they're pairing it with sort of middle to new, it's Food Jammers is like new, but it's not new enough. But they have some good success. Like Bitchin' Kitchen is a really good example of them stepping a little bit out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And having a show that is paying off,
but
both in viewers and in like a younger demographic.
I agree, and I like Bitchin' Kitchen, and I think it's probably where they should be. But to be fair to them, only in today's day and age would we be sitting here now 6 months after the launch nitpicking them. I mean,
I don't think it's...
They get time to develop their voice.
Absolutely.
It took Food Network,
five years.
Yeah. I mean, it was rough at first what they had on the air.
No, I don't think it's a matter... I think it's just a matter of analyzing and seeing, what they're doing well and what they're not doing. If anything, at the end of the day, the fact that they realized how
much food programming, how much programming there, and they launched a whole other network. That alone, like everything else is just details. Like that is the biggest fact that I applaud, that they go, hey, we need another outlet. We see, if not this year or next year, 3 years, 5 years, it's coming down the pipeline where we're going to need 24 hours. I mean, MTV2 took a few years to find its voice as well.
And it was the same exact voice as MTV.
Original MTV.
Yeah.
It's the most disappointing thing.
I mean, and then they did MTV.
That channel.
Yeah, and then they did MTVU and then MTV Think. So, I mean, that's... I mean, they stood by their guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stood by what they like tried to take a risk, and everyone was into it, and then they went back to it. So, how is it? Do you not think that Cooking Channel won't just go? I think, go ahead. I think what you'll see is that it's people. You know, 6 months is not even really enough time to develop a show, launch it, and shoot it. And I think that type of ingestion period and Cooking Channel figuring out what they want.
So do you think that they're shooting like the new face of the network now, and it'll come out in 6 months?
Maybe.
You know, some shows are working. A lot of shows are working, and they do own a lot of those shows that were on in the 90s. You know, those that they just have the right to keep broadcasting without paying any more money. So there's that. And you can already see some of the more thoughtful shows coming on. You know, Hungry Girl, this Lisa Lillian, you know, dieting show, and Emeril Lagasse is shooting a new show.
Cooking Channel?
I think it is for Cooking Channel. He's going around to classic restaurants.
I think Bobby's show is already off, though. Bobby's Brunch?
Well, they only shot six of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're planning. You know, they needed to have Bobby and Emeril and Rachel on the Cooking Channel just to get advertisers to make initial buys. You know, whether those characters or those personalities are still going to have to carry it is unclear. And probably... They're hoping, you know, the hardest thing about it, about food television, is developing those winning personalities, finding them.
Last question. Where do you think the internet and web TV has a place in all this?
Well, you know, when they first started Food Network, you know, there was almost no internet or no, you know, nobody knew about it. And they started getting people sending self-addressed stamped envelopes, you know, by the thousands, even though there were only thousands of viewers, to get recipes. So people want recipes and they want some instruction with the recipe. So to me, you know, there's the larger question of how much content are we going to watch and for how long, but specifically to food, I still think it's going to be largely recipe driven for a while yet, especially, you know, among the masses.
Yeah. Well, Alan, thank you so much. The website is Alan Salkin, that's AllenSalkin.com.
You know what, we've never asked this question, but is there anything from our listeners that you would want, since they're food people as well, that they could possibly send you to help you with, since you're in the middle of your research?
I would like people to send me like brushes with fame, their experiences, you know, meeting food celebrities, whether they be everything from mundane to lascivious.
Will, do you have something?
Well, me and Leo, my press agent, is in
the
room.
Go to the microphone.
Me and Leo, my press agent, who's in the room with me, we went out to lunch a couple of weeks ago before tour, and Emeril was like there being filmed and like eating a hot dog, and we were like behind him in the shot, just sort of like, it was amazing, hilarious, and weird.
Emeril eating a hot dog. Yep. And Alan, where can they send stuff to?
Excuse me, a French dip.
Where was it? Where was it?
At Philippe's. Philippe's.
Yeah, you can send it to Salkin, S like Sam, A-L-K-I-N, at AllenSalkin.com. That's A-L-L-E-N, Salkin.com, Salkin@AllenSalkin.com.
Awesome. Great. And we'll have you back for the official book launch.
Definitely. My pleasure.
Awesome. So we're going to do a little, we're going to play a PSA, I believe, and then we're going to do a musical break.
A PSA? Amazing,
yeah, the cookie. Oh, but yeah, that whoa that we had excitement. That's like the trick, right? Like last week, Michelle brought us like a whole spread of cheese, like for future guests, not music guests.
Oh yeah,
guests.
We'll have you back.
Oh yeah, we'll have you back.
Yeah,
maybe a little less salt this time. That's cool. But my Alan, you had a comment.
You don't like my cookies?
No, it was a joke. No, they're great. I love them.
Those are good cookies.
Those are good cookies. Do you have a title for the recipe?
It's, yeah, Toll House.
Up and coming brand.
My God.
So one of my two of my favorite one of my favorite songs of all time is a song called Matt Pond, PA, and I always like to play it. It's called Summer's Coming, which I feel today is pretty appropriate since I'm not wearing a jacket. And then Men, JD, we had her on the show a while back. They put out a new single today, featuring Anthony from Anthony and Johnson's, and that just came out today on I Am Sound. So that's going to be a musical interlude. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. We have Baths on next, talking about food and other things. I got some questions. Like hard hitting softballs.
How do you warm up for a show?
Yeah.
What's your favorite way to wind down?
So we're going to play a PSA, and then we're going to play some music, and we'll be right back.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Sunday at 2:30 p.m., tune into Cutting the Curd with Ann Saxelby. And if there's one thing Ann Saxelby knows, it's cheese. Cutting the Curd finds Ann disseminating that dairy know-how to the listening public. Every episode also includes guests from the world of dairy, ranging from historians to farmers, chefs to cheesemongers, all engaging in dairy discourse so that you might gain a better understanding of this thing we call cheese. Again, that's every Sunday at 2:30 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you. fighting, fingers in the ass. Money, money, money class, voluntary booby trap. Money, money, money crash, all our records in the trash. Who might feel so free? Who might feel so free? Who might feel so free? Who might? Oh, I didn't feel so free. Who, what, when, how? Who, how, what, why? I could never die. Feel so free. Never die. Feel so free. I could never die. Feel so free. Never die. Never die. Never, 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 never die. Who might feel so free? Who might feel so free? Who might feel so free? Who might? Oh,
I don't know if I've ever seen or heard such like a driving vocal performance from Anthony, that they're always like off into space, some ethereal thing. But that is a Who Might Feel So Free. It's a men's song featuring Anthony, and then before that was Matt Pompier. Summer is coming, because it is. I'd like to
as it is.
It is a fact.
It's a fact. Guess what's also coming? Winter, fall, all that stuff.
I know, but we're already in winter. We'd like to welcome to the show Baths.
Hey.
How can we refer to you in the show though, if I have to?
I'm Will.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'm going to embarrass you for like 2 seconds.
That's fine.
My friend, our good friend Shelly, who's been on the show before.
Hello.
She said during CMJ, she's like, you got to come see this band with me, Bass. And I said, okay. And then I saw you like at 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now that's I'm gonna stab
fan
you.
Out.
Yeah, now I'm no, gonna, now this is the best stalk away. It's like, come on, radio show.
let me ask the hard hitting question first. Which do you prefer more, showers or baths?
It depends on the situation.
That is actually the correct answer.
That's the correct answer. That is the correct answer.
If I for those of you who have not seen your setup, it's MPC player.
It's an MPD thing. The thing itself is pretty empty. All the stuff is in the computer, and then attach that to the computer, and then I'm singing along with it. But it's like I have to sing and be really there and in the room and like active and stuff. So
yeah, as a laptop DJ and knowing like what I'm doing for actually, like, you are incredibly involved. It's a nice setup with some lights and a little blanket or I don't know, a tablecloth.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, you are really like, you're in it and you're tweaking knobs, and I watched, cause the first time I was like, all right, guy.
Yeah.
With your knob tweaking. And then by the third time I was like, all right, guy, with that knob tweaking. This is pretty amazing. And it looks very involved. And I definitely think that, like, if outside of the voice, like, if you weren't up there, that those noises would not be made. So, yeah. How long did it take to perfect that show? Because you were so involved in that show.
Well, it's a game. It's constant. It's not, I don't even think it's perfected at this point. But it's like, it's gotten to a point where I'm very comfortable with it. I'm doing fairly simple things. Like, I have all the songs that I'm performing split up into 4 sections, and I'm affecting them as I go and sort of like changing the rhythms and dropping things out so that they're more affecting when the vocals come in, all that type of stuff. Like, I'm doing a lot of it on the fly. A lot of it is improvisation, but it's like,
so every show's different.
Yes, every show is always different.
It's really was like one of my favorite things, and also kind of inspiring, because we write music, and I was like, hey, I just saw this guy who did this thing. Is obviously very like one man show, electronic based, but it definitely looks like he didn't get up yesterday and was like, gonna perform a show.
That's the best thing, is like after I perform, if somebody's like, yo man, whose music was that? That was so cool. Like, they think I was DJing somebody else. It's like, god.
Do you have any thoughts to expand your life show to more than just you?
Absolutely. That's the whole plan. That's the whole goal, is that this is where it is right now because I'm by myself. This record was built completely me on my own, and that's the sound of it, and that's the performance that I wanted. But that's specifically this album. The next album that I'm working towards, and what I've done in the past, is with a large band setup. Like, for one of my older projects, I had like a cellist, a bassist.
Oh, cool. And you have a side project that's performing tomorrow night at Glasslands?
Yeah, I'm writing the set today and tomorrow before the show.
So what's the name of that
group? Geotic.
We're not here to talk about Geotic. We're here to talk about Bath.
Yeah.
Hard-hitting question. Ready?
Yes.
What would you like to be served in a bath? Like, what would be the ideal meal?
Oh, man.
No, that's a real thing. That's like a gummo type of question.
Like, peppermint water and gum, like cleansing things, like a lot of tea, maybe.
Not like a steak?
No, absolutely not like food.
Really? Because I went like, I would like a steak with like some french fries and a bat.
What if you drop it though? Then so everything gross. Is over. Everything
the
is
idea
ruined.
Let me put it this way. If I'm at the level of where I'm getting dinner served to me in the steak, I have already solved the how to not drop food
problem. I'm going to be honest. I don't think you have to be that well off to get a dinner in a bathtub.
I have eaten a bowl of hot spicy chili in the bath.
That actually color commentary now taken over by Alan.
A hot rich meal inside a bath. I'm with you. Something effervescent, something like light.
Yes, absolutely. Like one of those whipped desserts that tastes like clouds. Whatever. Oh. I forget what it is.
Oh, actually, nice big ball of cotton candy in the bath.
No, I don't know. I can't. I'm terrible with food. I don't know.
What do you eat on the road? What do you normally? What's your go-to?
I can't admit it. On Come on, the show.
You can't. No,
basically, like this tour, I've been having a lot of the McDonald's oatmeal. That they introduced because it's like healthy, very fast.
And with the Vermont maple syrup, which actually has to come from Vermont.
Yes.
And have you had any of the Zagat number one rated KFC chicken?
No, I have not. Is that true?
Yeah. No, dude, we did research on it because like KFC now has all these ads like Zagat number one rated, but they did like a fast food survey. So it's like, all right, so of the worst, this is the best.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, congrats.
Congrats. We'll be having the Colonel on next week to talk about the big win.
Yeah.
Oh, he's what? He's oh,
so,
never mind.
You know, it's great. You've been how long has Bath been the Bath Project been active?
Since September of 2009.
Okay,
exactly.
So not that. So a year and some change.
Yeah, it was basically like I saw one show specifically in Los Angeles where a lot of the big sort of electronic music players in LA, like Daedalus, Flying Lotus, No Such Thing, Tokyo Monster, all these people played, and I had that full band setup that I was talking about at the time. But I saw that and I desperately wanted to be able to pull a show off by myself in a similar fashion. And it was literally that day I said to my friend Mario, I was like, I want to do that. I want that. And then I built the album over the next couple of months to fit that performance, that type of thing. And then everything started happening.
What programs do you write in?
I used to use Digital Performer a lot, but now I use a mix between Digital Performer and Ableton because Digital Performer is sort of archaic.
Got it.
Yeah.
That was for our techies.
Let's get some music going.
Hold on a second. I got a few more questions. I really do.
I know, but we can come back.
I know, but I just one question. Because just for the thing.
Why are you taking your pants off?
Yeah. That's actually more just a fact. It happens. So you've been around for, like, you know, say a year and a half. I feel like, you know, from CMJ on, you've really begun to hit. You're like in the cusp. You've sold out shows. So, like, how are you feeling the difference now, changing from, you know, just like, hi, I'm Bass, to being like people's perception of you?
I have no idea. It's like things are happening so fast that I don't really keep track of it. I'm just sort of, I just keep saying hi.
That's Lior's job, the press agent who's here.
He's the one who's far more aware of my life like that than I am. So.
Great. So you picked out some songs to play.
So now we're ready?
Now we're ready.
Okay.
I had a question.
Okay.
It was pressing. Now I'm going to press play on the songs that you selected. Any type of theme that we should know about?
No, it was literally like I grabbed it and chose the first things that came to mind.
Oh, you have to. Oh, this is great.
Oh, on the
I
fly.
Love the books.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to open up with one of your songs.
Okay.
Well, that's what you put first.
What song is it called?
Somerset?
Yes, okay.
It is yours, right?
It's on something I'm selling on tour, exclusive to the tour. So.
Okay, so we'll talk about it afterwards. This is we're going to keep eating. We have so much pizza and
so
cookies.
So much pizza.
Pizza and cookies here. You're listening to a Bath's hand-selected On the Fly playlist on Snacky Tunes. We'll be right back. And that was just a playlist put together by Will, a.k.a. Bats, as we all put ourselves into pizza and cookie-induced comas.
Yeah, we really never, I have to tell you guys, like, we really never eat this much food.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And I would like to tell you that every week we eat this much food.
All right, we normally don't have cookies, which are delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, what do we say about phones? So close.
No.
No.
No. I'm trying to be a jerk about it.
Trying to be a jerk. It's not even working.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. There it is.
Is it important? Heritage.
Is it important?
Not really.
Oh. So whoever is calling at 258, Alan, it's recorded on the podcast. Yeah. Not that important.
Not that important.
I was just trying. I mean, it's more important than either of you two guys. Yeah. But it's. But then,
hey,
we're like,
thank everybody
for
coming snacking. So Will, talk to us about some of that music.
Oh, okay.
How it inspires you as an artist.
I can't even remember what songs did we do.
We
started off with the Books one.
Yeah, but you don't think it was on shuffle, so I don't even think we went in order.
Okay. Well, I know for, like, if it's a cool point, the Books, the one of the best shows that I've ever seen in my life was seeing the Books at the Getty Museum in LA, which was a total
surprise.
That's
pretty amazing.
It was before I had fully dove into them and everything, and I saw it, and they said themselves at the show that it was one of their favorite shows and favorite venues that they
It's really nice when you can
really
it's funny because I saw the Books here and they said it was one of their favorite. I think it's really
awkward.
Nice when you can see a band and you can tell that they're having a great time.
That's
so many times
was.
You see a band and you're like, that was great, and they're like, oh, we played the crap.
Yeah,
do you know
like,
what? Yeah, exactly. Keep it to yourself, man.
Yeah, exactly.
When I saw you the three times, and this is where it gets really creepy and fanny.
Go.
You really did look like it, each time was like you were having the best time, and not only that, you were incredibly appreciative of the crowd.
Yeah.
And like so happy that they are with you every minute, and that's why I kept. I think I was like, I told Darren, I was like, hey, you got to come see this guy with me because it's one of like. I mean, I feel like I've seen so much music, and for CMJ, you just become like so numb to it. So
yeah,
I saw you Brooklyn Bowl.
Oh, cool!
I was 10 sheets to the wind. I had a blast.
Did you wait? I was like, yeah. Did you? Did they take care? They took care of your Brooklyn Bowl. We always they're like one of the best. What did you eat when you were there? Do you remember?
God,
fried chicken.
So just whatever it was, I had too much. I remember that.
Yeah,
remember
they really. Like, it's like
that. Actually, is also the correct answer for Brooklyn Bowl.
It's also like it's like okay, I want all this food, but. It's tricky because do you eat it before and then it's like, I just had
no, that's the thing
rings.
Is in
or do you
life,
wait till after?
In life, I don't eat 4 hours before a show so that I'm completely empty.
That's
like
the magic.
Clear.
That's the magic number. Most people put it between 3 and 4 hours before they play a show. They don't eat.
Yeah. I will be eating wings at like 10 minutes up to it. I'll be like, I do not feel good about jumping around.
Dude, I'm yelling so much that it's like if there's anything in my system, it's like, like the whole time it's horrible.
And we're going to leave you with that quote. No, just kidding. So what can people couldn't expect coming up from the world of Bats? Marble, granite, porcelain, what are we talking?
So many releases this year. A 7-inch I have coming up, and then stuff I'm selling on tour, and then the new album is probably 2012. I haven't started working on it yet.
2012?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. That
not
happens.
This year. Not this
tomorrow.
Year.
We're already, yeah. Yeah, my, yeah.
Tomorrow?
Dude, in the press world, Leo, come on, back in the press, yeah, it's like.
Before the world ends.
2015 over here.
Yeah, it's 2015.
So, you remember when bands used to put out like a new album every 4 months?
Yeah. We just woke up this morning and Pitchfork apparently announced that Radiohead has a new album coming out in a
this
week.
No, coming out this weekend.
This weekend.
And like,
what
a new
are you
Radiohead.
Talking about? Just
when was their last album, though?
See, I love that.
A week
Why?
Ago?
They don't need hype. Come on.
No.
Dude, if you're them, they don't need hype.
You're Radiohead.
Oh, I wonder if it'll do well.
That's sort of the game.
Yeah.
They played a game on the last one and they're playing a game on this one by having a 1 week press campaign and that's it.
Are they playing the same game about Pay What You Want for this one?
No. They're not, but they're calling it a newspaper. I don't know.
They're calling it a what?
A newspaper album. That was I just read the article.
What does that
like
mean?
10 minutes ago.
Oh, did they?
I think it's something like they're giving it away on a newspaper, or like in a newspaper, and then
like
they're
the
going
Times?
To be repackaging it. I heard something about repackaging in May. I don't know the details,
know,
but like they're doing like a full thing down the road.
Hey, the second it goes digital, it
well,
doesn't.
That's,
I mean,
that's what's happening is it's going to be digital in a week.
Yeah,
or
right.
Weekend,
all right. So the show this Wednesday is sold out. And
awesome.
So
dear
that's
listeners,
great.
Thank
but
you for listening.
But,
you can't
but
go.
If you want to be ahead of the curve, you can come see your side project tomorrow at Glasslands.
Yes, I'm writing an entire set tonight and tomorrow.
What do you mean you're writing an entire set?
Like from scratch, I'm making a set.
But you put your original music for that.
That's what I mean. It's like I'm writing original
in
music.
In comedy,
today
this would be referring to as the new hour. You're writing your new hour.
I guess so.
Yeah. All right. Okay, great. So the last song we're going to play is a Lollipuna track.
Yes.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Nuts and Bolts. Where we find you on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Do you want Leo to do this?
Well,
you
every single social networking website, it's /BathsMusic, BathsMusic.
Lira, anything you want to add? I mean, this is your chance, man.
I really got nothing over here. I don't know how I got roped into this, but...
hey, remember, every time you sign that check, it's the I got nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
I got nothing. Oh, yeah. How'd we do last time, Mr. I got nothing?
Can we go back to food?
Yeah. Yeah. hold on. What is your favorite thing to eat when you get off stage?
Thai iced tea.
That's
not
fine. That is also a correct
that's
answer. Okay. That's a correct answer. Hey, just to let you know that you batted 1,000 today.
Yeah, cool. You answered everything correctly.
Awesome. So let's thank you, Jack Inslee. Thank you, Heritage Network. We got a big announcement coming. Is it next week? Is
there something like that? Alan,
great.
Yes.
And
I was good.
I forgot to ask. Who's putting the book out?
We are debating between publishers at the moment.
Awesome. That is also the correct answer. Everyone does so well. Yeah, everyone does so well at the show. And we did pretty well. Just a couple bites left of pizza.
Can we thank Heritage for the rack of ribs they gave us?
Oh, yeah. Heritage. We had a meeting with the head of Heritage, Patrick, and he said, you guys want to take anything? And because you guys don't know, but Heritage background is it's a food company.
They give us 2 sacks of stew meat, a ham hock, and some ribs.
Yeah. What has your radio station done for you recently? So it's going to be a wonderful dinner.
A porky spring.
Yeah.
Next week. Super excited. Alan, you're a good buddy, Jordana Rothman.
Jordana
Rothman. So for all those who don't know,
I just had dinner with her at Goat Town in the East Village, which we cannot recommend.
Oh.
And guess what? I love it because
Goat Town feels that is the incorrect answer.
I really love talking to Jordana about food. Her wit and her remarks are always they make me titter.
Jordana was my assistant.
Oh, really?
Put out the Festivus book. Yeah. Jordana helped me make Festivus shrimp impaled on mini Festivus poles.
Her wit is her wit is from a different era, and I love it.
But just so you know, for any of you Snacky Tune listeners and podcast fans, Jordana was on a year ago predicting food trends.
She was on twice. You have to remember. So there was one where she was on by herself and one with Mark Pastor. The one where she was on by herself, she did a prediction of 2010.
And so this is the year after follow-up, which I am surprised it's been a year. So if between now and then, if you want to go to our podcast, Snacky Tunes, and look for Jordana Rothman to brush up on it, as we will as well. And then we will just have an hour-long food special next week for predictions of 2011, even though
we're music, right?
No music.
Just food. We're going to talk. Jordana is worth the hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, this guy seemed all right, but whatever.
Wow. All right. Phone call not important and a bit of a bum out.
No, it's just that there's so much.
Jordana's wonderful, and you guys will have a great show.
Yes, thank you. And I won't say this, that I've gone back to listen to the show. She got a lot right.
All right, well, we'll save it for
save it for the sequel.
All right, so here we go. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with Jordana Rothman. This is See the Wood for the Trees bonus track off what?
The new Lollipop album.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Anything, Terry?
That's bring it on spring.
It's like milk and honey. Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.